Hello, it's Tuesday, March 17th, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Wheels designed to take a car to a top speed of 1,000 miles per hour are being manufactured. A fix that breaks everything has once again been issued by Microsoft and affects mainly users who dual boot their Windows system. Imagine if the mistake of a single ISP could accidentally take down Google for the entire world. They can, and they did. Huge gaming news for Nintendo fans. And Carbon 3D is pushing innovation in 3D printing with the demonstration of their game-changing process, which prints items in 10 minutes that would normally take 10 hours. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
If you would like to have your very own chroma key green screen set, whether it's to celebrate this St. Patrick's Day or to have a cool virtual set like our Category 5.tv newsroom, head on over to cat5.tv/green, where you'll find all the green screen sets are currently on sale, up to 56% off.
I'm Sasha Germatis, and here are the top stories from the Category 5.tv newsroom. The process of machining the fastest wheels in automotive history has begun. The aluminum discs will be fitted to the Bloodhound supersonic car, which will endeavor to break the world land speed record later this year. That record currently stands at 736 miles per hour. Castle Engineering near Glasgow is leading the industrial consortium that is preparing the wheels. These 90-centimeter discs are a crucial element of the Bloodhound concept and will have to endure huge loads as they spin at over 170 revolutions per second. Oh. Yeah, calculations indicate that at peak speed, the wheels will be generating 50,000 radial Gs at their rim. That's 50,000 times the pull of gravity. There are parts of this car where if there's a problem, the driver, Andy Green, can simply shut them off and bring the vehicle to a stop. But if there's a problem with a wheel, Andy is going to crash. And that's never good at 1,000 miles per hour. Bloodhound has to use solid wheels to make the record run. A rubber tire would be ripped to shreds. That makes sense. Ripped to shreds instantly. Once machined, the discs will go for balancing. Unlike a standard car wheel, this does not involve adding lead weights to the rim. Instead, further precision measurements will identify any unevenness, and a sliver of metal will be removed to hone what is already a state of near perfection. The market value of each wheel is about £250,000, a little over $370,000. Seeing at the speed limit here is 100 kilometers an hour. We won't need these tires anytime soon. Robbie, that's incredible.
Wow, that is frightening. I would be so intimidated by that speed. I don't know what kind of person would want to...
A crazy adrenaline seeker.
I guess, yeah, that's just not me. I mean, I grew up and decided I would go into computer programming.
Yeah, you're not going to drive a car at 1,000 miles per hour.
No.
I guess they use aluminum because it doesn't heat up. That's probably... Like, you'd think about, like, the revolutions per second. Those, even though they're aluminum, they're still going to be incredibly warm to touch, I'm sure.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I would think, though, also, I mean, aluminum is, this is solid aluminum, right? But I would think that at that speed, with that much G-force going down on the wheel, or is it out? There's got to be
right?
some kind of expansion going on. Like, that's...
What's his name? Andy Green?
Crazy.
He's a brave man.
Very.
Wow.
Brave slash crazy. Okay.
This is an important news story for anybody who's dual booting right now. Reports are emerging that a twice issued Microsoft Windows 7 patch is still causing pain for users, with some claiming the fix is triggering continuous reboots. The patch was first issued as KB2949927 and withdrawn in October due to system faults, before being re-released this week under the new name KB3033929. Sporadic reports across internet forums suggest the patch is causing pain on the Windows systems, especially PCs that boot into two or more operating systems. Redmond's initial hope was that the patch would bring SHA-2 code signing support for Windows 7 and Server 2008 R2 users whose operating system did not previously include that functionality. It seems sensible to avoid the update until Microsoft confirms the problem and provides a fix for the fix. So, Robbie, that would affect our viewers who have a dual boot with, like, Windows 7.
Yeah, from what I understand, I mean, they're saying if it's dual boot environments or multiple boot environments. So if you have Windows 7 and you're dual booting with Linux, for example, or multiple Linux partitions and you have Windows 7 installed and you get that update, it could botch the ability to boot up that system.
So don't update.
It's not the first time recently that we've had these kinds of, you know, fixes that break everything, which is, you know, it's a little bit worrisome for a Windows user. You know, you expect that those fixes, when they're released, are tried and true and they're not going to break things, but instead are going to fix things. And I guess we take it for granted on Linux, even though we do get our updates for all of the programs, it's, if we're using a stable distro, it's quite honestly stable. So we don't generally have those kinds of breakages. I guess it does happen even on Linux, though, once in a while, but it seems to be happening more and more on Windows.
Definitely a scary thing. So don't in any way use the fix yet.
That's a tough thing, hey? It's like, whatever you do, don't update, but always update.
Don't update that update.
Yes.
Yes.
And how do you know? And what do you do? You got to hold back your KB updates. And yeah. It's a bit nightmarish.
For a short time Thursday, people all over the world trying to access Google services were cut off because of what DIN Research Director of Internet Analysis Doug Mattery identified as a routing leak from an Indian broadband internet provider. The leak is similar to a 2012 incident caused by an Indonesian ISP, which took Google offline for 30 minutes worldwide. Routing leaks occur when a network provider broadcasts all or part of its internal routing table to one or more peered networks via the Border Gateway Protocol, causing network traffic to be routed incorrectly. In this case, the Indian ISP's router incorrectly announced routing data for over 300 network prefixes belonging to Google. These routes were then sent to the rest of the world, and a number of ISPs accepted them. The ISP, Hathaway, had its own routes to Google because the company provides better speed to Google's cloud for its users, directing traffic to the closest Google data centers. That peering is a private network connection only available to users connected to their network.
Oh. Ouch.
Yep. As a result, when the routing table was accidentally broadcast to the world instead of just to Hathaway's customers, much of the world was trying to access Google via Mumbai through Hathaway instead of over public internet. Wow. So I wonder how long on Thursday it took before Google caught on and fixed it. Probably not long.
They would have noticed their traffic drop significantly.
Like immediately, right?
It's, you know, how quickly does the change to fix it propagate back? It would take, I would think I don't know if Hathaway would have to determine the problem and push out a fix or what would happen at that point.
I'm sure that Mr. Google was on the phone with Hathaway immediately.
Yeah, I'll say.
We have a problem here, Houston.
You've broken the internet. You typed Google into Google, and you broke the internet.
Like Kim Kardashian. Nintendo has finally succumbed to the market and is collaborating with Japanese developer DNA to create new games for smartphones.
Wow.
I know. The gaming giant said that existing games built for other Nintendo platforms like the Wii U and 3DS will not be transferred. However, all of Nintendo's intellectual property will be eligible for development. This could mean new games on the horizon featuring characters such as Super Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon. The two firms also announced plans to launch an online membership service this fall, which will give members access to their accounts from across multiple platforms, including smartphones and PCs. That's huge for Nintendo.
Groundbreaking, even when you think about it. So, they've always held to the, you know, you've got to buy our hardware in order to use it, right?
Other people's hardware.
Now, are we going to start seeing Samsung, you know, apps on Android and things like that? That's incredible.
I could see it definitely moving to the apps, like just having Nintendo games on apps.
Oh, that would be horrible for me because I really like Nintendo games. And
on actual Nintendo devices?
Well, I haven't played them in years. I had a Super Nintendo, which was a big deal for me, but yeah. I don't have a Wii or anything.
Okay.
But I like downloading a game to my phone that would be as addicting as Super Mario Brothers would be horrible.
Yes. No, it would be wonderful.
Wonderful.
And it would be
wonderful, but horrible.
It's amazing that they have finally said, okay, now, like, they're really late in the game, I gotta admit. Like, they're finally saying, the smartphone is going to become popular. Well, who's going out and buying a 3DS for themselves anymore? It's, you know, maybe some kids have it for sure, but I'm not going out to buy one because you've got it on your phone.
It's going to waste so much of my time.
I know.
I'm going to love it and hate it all at once. Oh, no. A 3D printing process that harnesses light and oxygen has been demonstrated at the TED conference in Vancouver, Canada. Carbon 3D said its game-changing process could make objects such as car parts, medical devices, or shoes. The technique was inspired by Terminator 2, in which the T-1000 robot rises from a pool of metallic liquid. James Woodcock, group editor for TCT Magazine, said, "It's not unusual for huge claims like this to be made, but as its renowned experts working on it, it gives it some gravitas." During their presentation, the Carbon 3D machine produced a plastic ball from a pool of resin in just about 10 minutes. Professor Joseph DeSimone told the audience it would traditionally take up to 10 hours to print the same thing. That's impressive.
Wow.
If anything, the demonstration showed the need for companies in the industry to continually work on developing and improving 3D printing technology. That's great. I'm excited for that technology to come to light and make things more accessible all across the board. You could print really fast cars and put aluminum tires on them and get everywhere faster than 100 kilometers an hour. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.